All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Ezra, chapter 3. Ezra, chapter 3, for the message tonight. Everybody gave me plenty of time tonight for some reason. That's strange, isn't it? Funny how that works. All right, a couple of weeks ago, I preached to you out of verse 2. A message that I entitled, Build the Altar First. And actually, when I finished that message, I saw another idea, another thought, and I wrote it down and while I was preparing the first one. And I prepared this message right after that, like the next day. But just didn't have peace about when to preach it until tonight. And so I want to just go over the first part of the chapter and remind you of what happened in the first part. And then my text verse is going to be the 8th verse. But if you look back at verse 1, it says that when the 7th month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of God, of the God of Israel. Now, the point that I made in that sermon, and I hope you'll remember, those of you that were here that morning, they built the altar first. They did not build the superstructure, the temple, and then go in and build the altar. They built the altar first. And the point that I made in that sermon is that we ought to build an altar with God. An altar is any place you meet God. All right? Now, we call this up front here the altar. But you, many services, make an altar where you're standing or where you're sitting. Your chair at home where you read the Bible. Any place you meet God, that's an altar. And in the chapter here, the first part, the amazing thing is they built the altar first, and then they put the building around it. All right, so if you look down at verse 6, it says, and from the first day of the 7th month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. So they've got an altar, and they are offering sacrifices on that altar. But there is no temple. As a matter of fact, when they got the altar finished, there were not even foundations laid for them to build the temple. They were focused on building that altar because that is the most important thing. Meeting God, getting with God. That's the main thing. All right, look at verse 7. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon and to them of Tyre to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea of Joppa according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priest and the Levites, and all they that were come out of captivity unto Jerusalem. Now, here is my text. Let's read the last part of this verse. It says, and appointed. So who is that? Well, that's Zerubbabel and Jeshua. They were the leaders. They were the head honchos. And they appointed. Look at the latter half of the verse now. They appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. I want to speak to you tonight a message that I'm simply going to entitle Encouragement. Now, I'll explain to you in just a moment what these Levites' responsibilities were. And you'll see that their responsibilities were encouragement. All right, let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and I pray your blessings upon it tonight. And Lord, just ask that that you will help us to see this point and to understand the message tonight. May it be clear. May it stir our hearts and help us all to realize that whether we've been saved for a week or whether we've been saved for years, we can be an encouragement to someone else just with our presence, with our attitude, with our heart, with a smile, with a warm greeting, that, Lord, we can be an encouragement to someone else. And in this dark day in which we live, there is such a need for encouragement. The devil knoweth that he hath but a short time, and so he's very busy. And Lord, help us to understand our role at encouraging one another and lifting one another up. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in our hearts this evening, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. All right, I want to speak to you from this third chapter, and particularly from the last part of this eighth verse, on the subject of encouragement and why it is important that we do all we can to encourage one another every opportunity we get. I want you to understand that every day you meet somebody that needs encouragement. I want you to see that you, just as you are right now, can make someone else's burden a little lighter if you will just realize what an important role encouragement plays in our lives. Now, it might seem like a real insignificant ministry, but I want you to notice in our text that the men behind the construction of the second temple appointed the Levites, 20 years old and upward, to set forth, look carefully at the Bible and how it's worded here, to set forth the work of the house of the Lord. Notice the wording there. Now, what does that mean? Well, when I was reading this chapter a couple of several weeks ago now, and preparing, I knew I wanted to preach from verse 2, but I went ahead and read the rest of the chapter just for my own interest and encouragement, and I came to that little phrase where it says to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and that struck me a little unusual. I thought, well, you know, what did they do? What was their role? What was their responsibility? And I wondered, what in the world does this mean? And so I got to digging and looking to see what it meant. And it means that these Zerubbabel and Jeshua appointed these Levites. They were selected to superintend the project. And reading further, I saw that what they actually did was they encouraged those who came to do the work. They did not do the work. They were Levites. They were men of God. They were the ones that represented the Lord. They were priests. And they did not do the work. They were not the men that were responsible for the actual construction of the building. As a matter of fact, they didn't know anything about cutting stone. They didn't know anything about masonry. They didn't know anything about building or constructing buildings. They didn't know a thing about putting roofs on so that the water ran off the structure instead of in the structure. I mean, they didn't know any of that. They were not trained in that area. They were trained in the arena of being a priest, and that was their role. That was their responsibility. But what happened here is that Zerubbabel and Jeshua gave them the job of oversight. And I can imagine that their main purpose was to simply be seen. Their main goal was to be seen and to offer words of encouragement to those that were doing the actual construction. Look at the wording. Notice it says they set forward the work of. They set forward the work of the house of God. Not in the house of God, but of the house of God. They were not actually in there doing the work, but they were there to encourage those who were doing the work. They were priests. They were men of God. The men who best represented God at that time. And I don't know for sure, but I can imagine that they probably stood at the door and greeted the men as they came in each day for each day's work. And then when the day was over, the workers were filing out. These priests were standing there to tell them what a fine job they had done. When they hit a snag, instead of getting down and getting discouraged about it and just sitting down and quitting, these priests, these Levites, would have probably went over and said, okay, boys, we've hit a snag, but let's pray about this. Let's seek God on this. Ask God for his wisdom. And they encouraged the men to work out their problems. They lifted spirits. They got the men focused back on the task at hand. So they set forward the work of the house of God, encouraging, motivating, caring, lifting up, and making sure that the work kept going. And you know, folks, all of us need encouragement from time to time. There's not a one of us that doesn't need that. I mean, even the strongest among us needs encouragement. I know for sure that the weakest among us needs to be encouraged. So I dare say that even the strongest among us needs a little encouragement every now and then. You don't know what someone has going on in their life. You just don't know. And I wonder how many times a word fitly spoken, as Solomon said, can help some troubled soul make it through another day. Folks, listen, when you think about it, this right here is the reason after our opening prayer time, as we start every service with a hymn, and then prayer, and then we take a minute to shake hands and to fellowship and to greet one another. You see, a smiling face, a handshake, a simple kind word can encourage your heart and it can lift your spirits. The truth is, I think that much of the encouraging that we do for one another is often done without us even knowing that we're encouraging one another. But that's the way it ought to be. Unconsciously, like a smile or a handshake or a friendly greeting can be exactly what God needs to help someone in the midst of a storm. Now, you might be sitting here thinking to yourself, well, that just seems a little insignificant. Doesn't seem like much to me. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Nothing is insignificant when there is a loving heart behind it. Nothing is insignificant when there is a caring soul that is behind the action. Nothing is trivial or trifling if it is done in the right heart and in the right spirit. And here were these men in the house of God, moving the work forward every day in their spot, encouraging others to do what God had enlisted them to do. And so I started thinking, you know, the house of God that we are building here, which, by the way, is not a building, but a people. It is not brick and mortar or concrete and steel, but it is lives that worship and serve and tithe and work and win souls, and the house that we are building here needs some Levites standing at the door and offering encouragement to everyone in the building project. Now, just a few thoughts along the lines of encouraging one another. First of all, there is no area where encouragement is needed any greater than in the area of the Christian life. Folks, the devil is not going to rest. There, in the arena of the Christian life, think about it, a timely word, a smile, a warm heart. I mean, those things are like water to a thirsty soul. It's like a summer shower in the heat of August. It refreshes and it soothes and it calms. How many times have I heard young Christians to the point where they just want to give up? I cannot tell you how many times I've heard that say that they just so tired of the battle. You see, they had no idea. And by the way, you didn't have any idea either. They had no idea when they got saved that the devil was going to come at them with such a vengeance. They thought that once they got saved, that everything was just going to be sunshine and roses. I mean, they thought, wow, if I get saved, all my problems are gone. If I get saved, I'm never going to have a heartache again as long as I live. But they soon found out, as all of us do, that their old master, their old owner, is not too pleased that they changed residence. He's not happy about that. And so he begins to attack their flesh or their home or their job or their finances or their children. And not long after that, here comes a Sunday morning, and this new Christian comes in the door, and they're just dragging themselves in and looking like someone has beaten them to within an inch of their life. And folks, I submit to you that they need a Levite standing at the door. And they need somebody to smile at them and to encourage them so that they don't just give up and quit. They need somebody to be standing there who says to them, yeah, I know, I've been there where you are right now. I've been down that road, but you can make it, and encourage them to just keep on in the building program. They need someone to pat them on the back and let them know that they're going to make it. They need someone to set forward the work of the house of God. Now, again, folks, that may seem insignificant, but I say it again. Nothing is insignificant in God's work. I remember several years ago when I was a teenager, I had a cousin who was in the Army, and he was sent to Vietnam. And I mean, he was right in the heart of some of the fiercest battles that took place in Vietnam. And we were all excited because he was getting discharged. He had served his term, and he was getting discharged. And so we had a big party and dinner in honor of him coming home. And when everything was over, he came to where I was, and sat down and started talking and talked for hours. We talked for hours through the evening about his experiences. And he just needed somebody to talk to, somebody to tell what had happened to him. And so I sat and I listened. And I asked him, I said, what was it like the first time you were in the firefight? And man, he just you could see that it was just traumatic, and what had happened to him was an experience that petrified him. And so he said to me that he was scared to death. He said machine gun fire was hitting all around him, and he was kind of hunkered down in a foxhole. And he said the bullets were just bouncing all around him. And he said that he was literally shaking and crying with fear. And he said, I just zoned out. He said, I just zoned out. I was just sitting there so afraid and shaking in my boots. And he said, all of a sudden, there was a hand that was put on my shoulder. And he said, when that hand hit my shoulder, I looked over and he said, it was my sergeant. And my sergeant looked at me and said, courage, man. Courage, man. He said, you'll be fine in about 30 minutes. The first time I was under fire, I was exactly like you, only worse. And he patted him and he said, courage, man. And then scooted on down the ditch. And he told me those words and said, the thing that meant the most to me is that they came from someone who had been where I am. I mean, it got to him in his most difficult hour. And I want all of you veterans in the Lord's army to realize that there are a lot of new recruits around here who might be under fire for the very first time. And they just might need a hand on their shoulder and a word of encouragement to help them through their struggles. And then I got to thinking, how many workers in the church need encouragement? I think a lot. I don't know how many times through the years someone has stopped me in the hall or they made an appointment to see me, and the reason they did was to tell me that they were giving up their class or they were giving up their bus route. Or they said, Pastor, I just feel like I need to take some time off. And I've heard them say over and over, Pastor, I'm just not seeing any progress with what I'm doing. I just don't seem to be getting anywhere. I'm just laboring in vain, Pastor. I'm just wasting time. Well, would you like to take a guess how many times we've all felt like that in our Christian life? I can't tell you how many times in 35 years I felt that way. I have often gone home and sat in the late into the night and wondered, good grief, is anybody listening to me? I am wasting my time. We all feel that way, folks. I mean, we all have times where the devil shows up and questions us as to the effectiveness of what we're doing for the Lord. He has a way of making sure that we question, is what I'm doing for God, is it really making a difference? And folks, I'm telling you, if you're teaching a class, if you're singing in the choir, if you're helping out with one of the soul winners clubs or the reformers or whatever you're doing, you're going visiting on Mondays with a Super 60s or going out with the teenagers on Wednesday, listen, whatever you're doing, mark it down. Yes, God is blessing that and God is using that. Be encouraged in knowing that God is blessing. And then the next thing you know, here comes the devil to one of these discouraged souls. And the devil will then make sure that you see all the inconsistencies of others. He'll then make sure that you see everybody's flaws. He'll then make sure that you see every little thing that goes on and that all the dirt gets back to you. Oh, yeah, he knows what he's doing. And the next thing you know, you're not only discouraged in your service, but you're discouraged with your church, and you're discouraged with your friends, and the next thing you know, you're not doing anything for God. That's how the devil works. In times like these, what is better than an encouraging hand? I'm telling you, folks, the devil knows how to push your buttons. He knows where your weakness is. He knows how to get us sidetracked and get us discouraged. He knows how to get us weary in well-doing. It is what he does best. I mean, even folks that have been saved for years cannot escape the devil's relentless attacks. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Let me ask you, have you ever thanked your Sunday school teacher for the work that they do? Have you ever thanked your children's Sunday school teacher for the work that they do? You know, I think maybe if we were a little encouraging to those workers, and if we just would stop and think of the hours that they spend preparing their lessons and praying over what they're going to say and praying for you and praying for your children, if you just encouraged them a little bit, just gave them a little pat on the back or a little card and said, thank you for what you are instilling in my life. Thank you for your love and your concern for me. Thank you for the preparation that you make in your class. It might just drive them to the throne of grace to see if even more blessings from God and more power from God might be given. We need to encourage one another. There's a second thing I want to say. I said, first of all, that there is no area where encouragement is needed any greater than in the area of the Christian life. But now, secondly, let me say that encouraging others is you setting forth the work of the house of the Lord. I said years ago, I don't know when the first time I said this was, and I don't remember hearing it from anybody. I don't know if it was original. I don't remember. But I have said it many, many times since. But what I said was this. I said that the worst thing that ever happened to the New Testament church was the paid preacher. The paid preacher. Because when we started paying the preacher, then we sat back and said, hey, we're paying you, you do it. And we wonder why God doesn't bless. Folks, we're all to be in this thing. I mean, from the teenagers right on through, we're all to be in it, from the kids all the way up. We all are to be involved. As the men showed up to work on the house of the Lord, there was the welcoming committee. There were the Levites. The Levites were waiting on him. Can you imagine? Here comes an old rough mason, and he's got his little bag with a lunch in it, and he's got his trowel in the other hand, and his little work bucket, and he comes in, and when he gets there, as the sun's coming up, there's the Levite saying, "Man, I've been praying for you. God bless you. Good to see you. Man, we're going to build the most beautiful temple. God is going to be honored by this." Well, I tell you, when he got to the gate, his heart was encouraged and he was picked up before he ever walked inside and set everything down and got ready to work. He was ready to go. These Levites couldn't lay stone. They couldn't mix mortar. They couldn't cut timbers, but what they could do was encourage the people, and that's what they did. And by their encouragement, they kept the work moving forward. You see, all of those men who worked on the building had their share of problems. They all brought their problems to work. They had their financial troubles. They had their problems at home. When they all came to work in the mornings, you can be assured they weren't all thrilled and excited about being there every morning. But when they came through the gate, there was a Levite standing there. And that Levite pumped them up. He got them focused on the main thing that they were doing that day. And the main thing they were doing that day was building a temple for the glory of God. And he got them excited, and they forgot about all the problems and the fact that the telephone was ringing off the hook as the bill collectors were calling. I mean, they forgot all that, and they got excited about the job. These Levites were there when they arrived, and they encouraged the men. They were there when they left, and they encouraged the men. Their job was to set forward the work, not set it backwards, set it forward. And that means encouragement. And all of us need a constant reminder that we are building the Lord's house. Again, not physical, spiritual. We're all involved in that. Paul said this, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's." The psalmist said, Psalm 127:1, he said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." You see, the house we are building is not material structure of brick and steel. We are building a life that is a relationship with the Lord. We are individually building a spiritual house. And folks, how we need to encourage one another as we build. Now, let me tell you, you're not encouraging your brother when you're out here on Bookface saying negative things about your Facebook saying negative things about your brother. You're not encouraging your brother when you're gossiping about him. You're not encouraging your brother when you're running them down every chance you get. Oh no. We're to move the work forward. We're to move the work forward. I mean, we're building a life that is a relationship with the Lord. We are individually building a spiritual house. And we need to take on the role of a Levite. You say, "Well, Pastor, how can I help the building move forward?" All right, let me give you just a couple of quick things and I'll be done tonight. Number one, these are just simple little things. Number one, be here. Amen. Be here. Period. Or I guess I should say exclamation point. Just be here. Just be in church. Number two, how can I move forward the house of the Lord? Number two, when we sing the congregational songs, get a hymn book and just sing your little heart out. You say, "But Pastor, I can't sing." God didn't say that you would be that you are going to be able to sing. God said that you and I are to make a joyful noise. Yeah. Now, I've heard some of you, and that's what it is. But you know, the amazing thing is, God didn't make everybody be able to carry a tune. All right, some folks can. And let's be honest, some folks can't. Now, God didn't say, "If you can't carry a tune, just stand there during church, don't sing." God didn't say that. No, he said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." I had a guy that sat beside me my freshman year for a whole semester. His name was Mike Bell. They sat us in alphabetical order. And Mike Bell sat right beside me. And bless his heart, he could not sing a lick. Now, he got everybody within four rows of him, frontwards and backwards, and four on that side and four on that side, off because he was that far off. I used to stand in chapel and put my finger in over that little hangy thing there in your ear and push it in so that I could deaden the sound. It was awful. But Mike Bell, he was from Texas, and everything about him shouted Texas, everything, including his singing voice. And he would just hang on to us, one half of that hymn book, and he would throw his head back and he would sing. Oh, I mean, when people are turning around to look and see who's making that racket, you know it's wrong. But he didn't care. He was going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, there are some folks that can only make a noise. But the amazing thing is how voices can blend together to make a sound that is honoring and glorifying to God. It's amazing. So when we stand to sing, hey, grab a hymn book. I mean, grab a hymn book and sing your heart out. Because that music, there's a reason we sing. Music, it takes the heart and it prepares the heart to worship God. We have a whole book in the Bible called Psalms. Psalm means song. And music is important to God. So you're setting forward, you're moving forward the work of the house of the Lord. Number three, be friendly, smile, and welcome those around you. Especially visitors. I was so pleased this morning. We had a young man visit, sat right over here where Senator Haynes is sitting. And I walked back over to my chair while everybody was turned around, shaking hands and stuff. And I looked over and people were standing in three deep all around that young man shaking his hand. Amen. Bless you. And let me tell you something, folks. When you do, when you are smiling, when you are friendly, when you are kind, you're setting forward the work of the Lord. It just moves the whole thing, what we're trying to do. It just moves the whole thing forward. Number four, get involved in some fashion with a responsibility in the church. Get involved. There are so many things to do. So many things to do. There's ushering. There's nursery. There's teaching. You say, well, I don't see how nursery is moving forward the house of the Lord. Let me ask you something, folks. If they ever turned that crowd loose on us, you'd have a change of mind. Isn't that right? Hey, those folks back there in the nursery, they're doing us a great service. Now, listen, Brennan, Josh's little one, you don't want to turn him loose in here. He's louder than me. He can be. Brett, the little one, the baby, which we're going to get another one this week probably. She's due on Thursday. Leanne's due on Thursday. Little boy this time. Another little boy. So we're excited about that. But find something to do, folks. Find something to do. There's master's clubs on Wednesday nights. There's the reformers. There's all these visitation programs. Pastor Campbell takes, and Griff Manahan, they take the seniors out on Mondays. What an encouraging ministry is that? Oh, I get cards. Pastor, thank you for sending the Super 60s out to sing for me and to read me scripture. Thank you, Pastor. Truth of the matter is, I didn't have anything to do with it. They just do it. They just do it. You'll find you're moving the work forward as you get involved. We've got all these soul winning activities Tuesday night and Wednesday afternoon with the teens and the bus ministry and Thursday night Soul Winners Club. We've got the Living Cross that's coming up. You want to get a blessing? Get involved in Living Cross. My little granddaughter, Olivia, she looks at me this afternoon at the house, and she said, "Papa, I'm in Living Cross again." And I said, "You are?" She said, "Yeah, I can't wait. It's so much fun." Yeah, you know, some of you, if you got involved, you'd find out it's fun too. Amen. Just get involved. I mean, by working in the church, you are performing the same functions as these Levites. You are encouraging others by your faithfulness to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. And brethren, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Thank God for all of you that do all that you do. God bless you for it. You know, we have what we have because the people have a mind to work. You just mark that down. We have what we have because of your faithfulness to do the work of the ministry here at this church. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get discouraged. But instead, encourage one another by your faithfulness. And when you do, you're moving forward the work of the house of the Lord. I can see those old Levites standing there at the gate, can't you? Can't you see them standing there? I mean, I can just see them standing there, and they're smiling, and they start elbowing. Here comes one of our bricklayers, look here. And that bricklayer comes walking up, and they're just smiling from ear to ear. And they reach over and say, "Man, it's good to see you. God bless you." Oh, one of these days, God's going to reward you for all this work. One of these days, just picture it in your mind. Just see it. Oh, that temple. Man, is it going to be something. Man, thanks for coming today. Now get in there and do your job. Get in there and let's move it forward. And that's what they did. They just encouraged the moving forward of the house of the Lord. Let's have that encouraging heart within us. And God will bless it. You mark my word, God will bless it. I can't tell you all what it meant to me every day when I was sick. I cannot tell you what it meant to my heart to sit down and have to take a half an hour to open up cards and read them. Amen. I mean, I got through reading those cards, and thank God for encouragement. And we all need it. All of us.